When I'm thinking about today, I'm just filled with pride for you and what you've accomplished. And I want to share with you just a simple message from the book of Nehemiah. Pastor and I were talking, and he mentioned the book of Nehemiah in one of our conversations, and how in that book there's a whole story of something that was made and constructed. Something that was accomplished with great effort, with a lot of help, and something that was celebrated when it was completed. So I want to just take a hop, skip, and a jump through the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament and find just some of these little highlights here that will help us apply it to a day like today. And so I invite you to follow along with me, and I appreciate that. One of the things I just am reminded of is how much I like my very subtle clock in my church in Damascus. And I remember this gargantuan clock, Pastor Keith. I just have never seen a clock that big. And that came in when I was here because they really needed me to be reminded of that at the time. That's great. Well, let's look in the book of Nehemiah. And the first thing I want to share just a few of these principles, and I believe they're going to be something that maybe you can hang your hat on and help us to remember. I'll go through them rather quickly because we want to get to the Sunday school hour, which is kind of the star of the day. I want you to see first in Nehemiah that his brother, Nehemiah's brother, Hanani, came back to tell him something that was needed. There was a great need. And in verse 3 of Nehemiah chapter 1, it says, "They said to me, they reported about my homeland." Remember, Nehemiah was in a foreign country, and he had kind of maybe lost track of what was going on in Jerusalem. So this was the report that he got. "They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province in Palestine, in Jerusalem, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things," Nehemiah said, "I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the Lord God of heaven." It really bothered him that there was such a need in his hometown, in the home country of Israel. And the fact that the walls had been broken down, it just made him see what I think is the first great point, that what was done was essential. It was essential that it be done. You guys have run out of space. We were out of space years ago. And now you have done something to come across and answer an essential need. And I'm proud of the way you have done that. You've seen a need. There was obviously something that was needed, and you moved and planned proactively to meet that need. So first of all, I want you to see the project there in Nehemiah's day. It was essential. The second thing I want you to see is that everyone was helpful. It was great, Keith, that you had some of these guys lined up here, people that helped lead and people that helped work. And I know that there are many others that weren't standing here that also helped do the work. So though it was essential that it be done, everyone was helpful in making it be accomplished. And I want you to just go to chapter 3, and we're going to skip through chapter 3 and look at all the people who helped. In verse 1, it's the priests. In chapter 3 and verse 2, it's the men of Jericho took a section of the wall for them to build and do. In verse 3 of chapter 3, the sons of Hasanaah. In verse 4, Merimoth and Meshulam and Zadok. In verse 5, the men of Tekoa pitched in. In verse 6, Jehoiada and Meshulam took a section of the wall. In verse 7, men from Gibeon and Mizpah took their part. In verse 8, Uzziel and Malchijah, in verse 31 of chapter 3, they were goldsmiths. They weren't masons. They weren't carpenters. They were goldsmiths. What are they? They're working with precious metal all the day long, and now they're working with bricks and mortar, these huge blocks. How can they do that? And I like also in verse 8, Hananiah was a perfume maker of all things. He's working on the wall. A perfume maker? Give me a break. Would you want to stand on the wall that was made by a perfume maker? He was out there. Look in verse 12 of chapter 3, Shalom and all of his daughters pitched in. And they weren't going to let the men get all the work done. The women showed up, and they were building that section of the wall. In verse 20 of chapter 3, this is my favorite verse. In verse 20, it talks about Baruch. I like Baruch, son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section, from the angle of the entrance to the house of Eliashib, the high priest. These are just normal people, but I like Baruch because he worked zealously. It's like he made people look bad that were around him. You know, he was having the mortar flying and the bricks were stacking and he was sweating and he was looking around and people were just trying to, he was zealous. And the work got done, get this, by normal people. There were no construction engineers on the job. It was just people, normal people. You know, that's who God uses, normal people. Now, when I look downstairs, as Pastor Keith pointed around and said, well, this came from that, and this person supplied this, and didn't this person do a good job here? And I'm thinking, just people, God's people at work, God's people pulling together, God's people being helpful. The work was essential to get done, but the people were helpful to get the job accomplished. That's you guys. I'm proud of you for the ways in which you have been helpful in accomplishing what we're celebrating today. A third thing here is, well, God was certainly in the picture. I'm going to take you all the way over to chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. I want you to see this. We're going to jump to the completion of the wall. And here's what it says in verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Now, it took a little bit longer to get the basement project done. I realize that. But in 52 days, they constructed a wall around Jerusalem. Now, tell me that wasn't outstanding. When all of our enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations, they were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Jehovah was central to what occurred here. The God of Israel was the whole point of what was accomplished there. It was for him the work was done. It was to reestablish the safety and security of his people. But it could not have been done had not God made it possible. Today we're not celebrating the work of human hands, although that is noteworthy. And we're not just calling attention to ourselves and something we were able to do, you were able to do. I put we in there, you have to excuse me about that. I didn't drive one nail. But I feel like it's we today. And down there we're not accomplishing what hands have done, but what God has made possible. And that is why we need to stop today and be very thankful to God. We're going to see that a little bit more in a moment. But it is God who should be praised. We can enjoy every moment of it, but let's not forget the author of all of this and the reason why it has been done. They recognize God in it all, and so should we. Now let's skip to the dedication, because this wall gets finished, as it says there, that it was completed in just a little over 50 days. So let's go all the way to chapter 12 and see the dedication of the wall. Now this is just exciting, and it's a little bit more of what we're doing here. The work was essential, the people were helpful, Jehovah was central, but I want you to see that the celebration was really joyful. In verse 27, I want you to see there that at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they had lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of the cymbals, the harps, and the lyres. I mean, they were just going to pull out all the stops and stop everything and celebrate what God had done. It's kind of what we're doing today. We're just pausing to say thank you to God and to just enjoy what has been accomplished. There's enough challenges out there, aren't there? There's enough things to be concerned about. What is healthy for us to do to every once in a while is just stop and go, thank you, God. This is something we can lift up and be so grateful for. And look also in verse 43, it talks about the joy of that day. The celebration was joyful. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, and the sound of rejoicing could be heard far away. Man, they enjoyed that day. And as I see, look around here, I see smiles, and downstairs we saw Trampas and Dana down there, and they're smiling in their new space. There's reason to be gladness for all of this. So we can be okay to celebrate and smile and have a little bit of fun. And if you feel like shouting, that's okay too. We're allowed to do that when we celebrate. And these people made such a great joyful noise that even far away, even their enemies perhaps, heard the sounds of rejoicing. What's going on with those people? Well, they're glad in their God. So the dedication was joyful. Today, I feel joyful to be around you. I feel so honored that Pastor Keith and the elders would invite me to come back and to just share this day with you. I had a really small part at the beginning, but you guys carried the water on this project, and I'm so proud to be a part of it. So I'm going to smile and celebrate today. And yes, I may even shout. Not only was the celebration joyful, looking also in chapter 12 and see that it was musical. And this is something we can all identify with. In verse 31, look at verse 31. I had the leaders of Judah go up on the top of the wall. So they built it really solidly because they were treading on it. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right toward the dung gate. That was the most unpopular section of the choir, by the way. You had to be really tough to sing right over there. And then look down in verse 30, the second, or 38, excuse me, the second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on top of the wall together with half of the people past the Tower of Ovens to the broad wall over the gate of Ephraim. And they spread out these choirs along the wall. And they had music to celebrate. And so just looking around today, we've just been surrounded by music this morning. Have you noticed? I mean, we've had a choir to begin with us. Now, we couldn't get them to stand on the balcony wall. That'd be a little trepidatious, wouldn't it? But they were standing here and singing, and we had a worship team. We have multiple instruments. We have a quartet. Music is appropriate to accompany a dedication, and we've enjoyed that today. I don't know how they could string those people along the walls of Jerusalem and get a choir to sing together. I have no idea. I don't know how they strung the mics or got the monitors pointed in the right direction. I mean, that would have been a nightmare, wouldn't it, for sound technicians? Can you guys imagine that? No, they can't. And yet they did it. And sound and music filled the room as God's people celebrated, as it has today. And we'll even end with a song here in a moment, too. And sung as a congregation, and it's just enjoyable to see that. Jezrahiah was the choir director. I want to talk to him someday how he got that together. But music is a regular feature of worship and celebration, and we've enjoyed that today. So the celebration was joyful. It was musical. And in verse 40, we see how it was filled with thankfulness. The celebration was thankful. Look in verse 40. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God, and so did I, together with half of the officials. When we see people who were involved in this, we realize that they were humbled enough to offer praises of thanksgiving and also prayers of thankfulness to God. It's really important. It's the second time I've mentioned it, but without God, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. And you all have overcome a great obstacle to do what you've done. And it is so to be commended, because God is the one in force of it all. So it's good that we stop and we say thank you to God. And that is our intention today. So the celebration, joyful, musical, thankful, but also it was purposeful. Look at verses 44 and 45. At that time, men who were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits and tithes, from the fields around the towns, they were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law for the priests and for the Levites. For Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. They performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did the singers and gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. Now, this is right following on the heels of a dedication. Now, if they would have been Baptists, the only thing that would have followed on the heels of a dedication would have been a potluck supper. But neither did they do that, and neither are you doing that. When I asked Pastor Keith, what's going to happen after the service? Pastor Keith said, we're going to go down and fire up that place downstairs. I thought, well, all right. We're not going to mess around, are we? We're going to use that place. We're going to go to work immediately. That's exactly what they did in Nehemiah's day. They immediately went into the service of the king. And today, when we say amen and we dismiss from this room, guess what's going to happen? We're going to go to work. That is so much like the people of Central Chapel. Does not surprise me one bit. That is the way you are. And I'm proud of the way that you are. Not in Nehemiah's day, or not in today, was there a potluck. But that's what's going to happen after this service. You guys are going to go to work. I like that. It says a lot about you. It says a lot about your dedication and a lot about your excitement to begin using that space for the glory of God. Here's the last thing I want to mention about all of this. It's the people. Something about the people. Now, the celebration was joyful and musical and thankful and purposeful. But the people were determined to be faithful. That is so important. And it's important because of this. A dedicated project is a grand thing. But a dedicated people, that's a superior thing. For what is a place without the Spirit of God living and breathing in the breasts of His people? So while we're excited, and rightly so, about dedicating a space, I want to talk just a moment about the people. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit to chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 28. The people were determined to be faithful. Listen to what it says here about the people. The rest of the people, priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the neighboring peoples for the sake of the law of God, together with their wives and all their sons and daughters who are able to understand, all these now join their brothers, the nobles, and bind themselves with a curse and an oath to follow the law of God given through Moses, the servant of God, and to obey carefully all of the commands and regulations and decrees of the Lord our Lord. Think about that. And the whole idea of doing and building and constructing something that was going to be very useful and very important to the people, they realized that perhaps far more than the brick and mortar would be the dedication of themselves. When I look around, I see a lot of buildings that are relics. Do you? There's beautiful edifices all over this country and across the world. Churches that one time were dedicated. Buildings that were at one time celebrated. Where people were there. And now it's empty. They had celebrations just like this. Prayers just like this. Music like we have done. But today, it's an echo chamber. Could that happen here? Yeah, it could. We wouldn't be the first congregation to start out with a bang but end up in a fizzle. Or to begin with a celebration but end with sadness. Congregations have dedicated and begun with sounds of praise but ended with profound silence. Who were once alive but are now dead. And the buildings, you can go around and now they're museums. Or they're tourist attractions. But they don't have people in them anymore worshiping God. What can keep us from doing that? It is this. If we remain dedicated to our God. And we tell the generations that are yet to come. The glory of our God. And if we ourselves dedicate ourselves afresh to following God. Then this church and its spaces will long serve the eternal purposes of our King. And that is my prayer for you. Beyond the dedication of a space to the dedication of people. Because that's what really matters in the long run. And when I pray for you, I am so glad, and yes, I am envious of your spaces. But I pray that the people of God here will follow God fully all of their lives and pass that baton to the generations that are coming up, to the little babies that are running around this place and filling it with sounds. They are the ones who will keep going. And then the ones that will be born from them, the legacy that will be left here. You all are setting the stage for a great legacy to be passed on. And today, I would like to pray a prayer over you, if I may, as I end this message. Would you bow with me And let's pray together. Father, when we were little, we prayed this prayer. God is great and God is good. And today, that is still true. There's no God greater than you. And there's no God who outdoes you in goodness. We pause today to celebrate a project that has been completed. Its completion has come by way of great cost in money, in resources, in time, and in effort. The space now under our feet, we dedicate today for the greatest purpose we can ever know, to the glory of the eternal God. We acknowledge today from Psalm 127, verse 1, that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. We acknowledge that unless the Lord inhabits this house, it is merely bricks and mortar and walls and paint. Unless the Lord fills this house, we have merely wasted resources. Unless the Lord is famous in this house, we are worshiping the wrong thing. And unless the Lord is preached in this house, we have lost our way. So today, Father, in this place, your house, we dedicate not only this new space, but our very selves to your service. We commit ourselves afresh to your word and to follow your ways. We will endeavor by the ever-flowing power of your Spirit to use new rooms to teach solid truth, to help draw those who are far from you into nearness, to teach eternal principles in a temporary world, and to remain faithful to your ways, even though others may fall away. We ask that this project, whose completion we celebrate today, would not only be a resource for impacting this generation, but would also impact generations yet to be born. We ask for your favor and ask that you would bless this place, this commitment, and this people. Make us effective. Keep us humble. Give us your strength. Fill us with your courage as we attempt to be the people we ought to be, both in this place and beyond these walls. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That is my prayer for you. And perhaps as we end this service with a song, you would like to join me. I'm going to be right down here. And I'm going to be dedicating myself afresh to following your example at First Baptist Church in Damascus. And maybe you will join me to not only pray in celebration of dedication of this space, but in rededicating ourselves to the purposes and ways of God, so that we won't drop the baton, and so the generations coming behind us will know this God that we think is so tremendous. As we sing, you come, you pray. You say, well, I don't come forward and pray. Well, get over it. Get over that. Let's pray together as people as we sing.